Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? And get your vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, hello. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN still meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. We are back. I forgot to really say when we were going to come back and what our plan was. We just sort of pieced out, but we're back. We took yesterday off. Yesterday was mercifully a company holiday. I am so glad to see you both and that neither of you are evacuated from California or Colorado, stranded on the road in Virginia, isolated due to COVID, or a Kardashian reeling from another trip to Tristan Thompson bombshell. So relative to most Americans, we can't complain. How you guys doing?
Oh, gosh. I mean, well, yeah, it's hard to really say anything but good when you list where we really
I dare you.
I feel, I woke up today not feeling great, so I'm going to get a PCR test.
Oh, no.
But I have felt like I'm in Final Destination with this Omicron, where it's like everybody that I've hung out with, like, not that I've been hanging out with a million people, but yeah. Like,
or it someone's
like,
anymore.
Oh, do you want to get lunch next week? And I'm like, sure. And then a day before, they're like, actually, I got Omicron. And what I mean? That's happened to me.
Brian had it. Or he still is isolating. I think he's like not symptomatic anymore, but just to be safe, he's just been isolating. He fortunately has two floors in his apartment. He has a basement. So he's just been staying separate from Antonio. So, well, yeah, I'm supposed to go to a restaurant tomorrow, but I'm like, am I just asking to get it? It's weird times.
Yeah, it's, well... So Danny and I tested up until seeing Wicked on Christmas, which we were there, and we did not get COVID added as far as I can tell, which was, I don't know, it was like a risk we assessed prior to going. But then, so we had a small New Year's gathering, just like a couple of friends, and we all rapid tested beforehand, but even still after that, someone tested positive the next day. So, I'm testing again today. I feel fine, but who knows?
Yeah. So now we've all had exposure recently, huh?
Wonderful. Yeah, exactly. It feels like if you're coming out of the holidays, it's like you either got Omicron, have Omicron, or are like Final Destinationing, as Millie said, which is
weird phase.
I feel like I'm constantly checking to see if I'm trying to be as safe as possible, but also live my life. And so as a result, I'm just like kind of constantly checking to see and always kind of being like, is this going to be the time that I find out that I have
because the CDC, as we know, has been tremendously helpful and clear on what we should do. Oh, guys. So did you guys watch Don't Look Up?
I have not.
I talked to Elise about this.
So I watched it, but I also was like on my phone from like 99.9% of it and also like actively left the room.
Yeah, I did watch it and it was kind of bad, but I did come. It's very, very heavy handed on like you have to trust the nation scientists. You can't question the nation scientists. I mean, that message is like very, very clear. And then like 4 days after I watched, I was like, God damn it, everybody's memeing the nation scientists. But I don't want to publicly disparage them. But by the end, it's like everybody's just given up. But I cannot imagine being a fucking parent right now. And these schools that are closing down for 2 more weeks. Mm. It's a rough time. It is a rough start to the year for a lot of people.
I will say that Wicked on Broadway is fantastic. we saw some understudies in the cast. There's a lot of talk about understudies right now.
Yeah.
And we saw a gal play Glinda, who had never played the role before until that night and had found out 2 hours prior that she was going on. And she crushed it. So
I mean, that's what they all wait for, right?
Yeah, true.
I mean, you learn the role to be able to do it, but it's got to be crazy to make your debut in the role.
When I saw Tina, the understudy came in halfway through the show, which was my first Broadway show. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But it's like, oh, this never happens, apparently. So I'm like, oh, but I killed it.
I posted about this, but I saw a projection of West Side Story that I will never forget in my life. It was at the National Theater in D.C. And when Tony was coming on for his first entrance before he sings Something's Coming for my West Side Story heads out there, the set piece for Doc Store ran over Tony. On stage, he screamed, fuck. I was in the audience and I was like, I had read a newspaper article that I was like 19 at the time, and I had read a newspaper article that said it was an edgy reboot of West Side Story. So I was like, oh, this is edgy. Right. Tony's just screaming fuck before his forced entrance. But then they closed the curtain really fast. They called for a doctor in the house, and the understudy came on and performed the rest of the show because Tony had been run over by the set piece.
I feel like they should just do a Broadway production based on like the 1918 flu, because then everybody can just wear masks and it's fine.
Well,
and it's on theme.
I mean,
Lynn.
Wicked with masks. I watched Queer Eye. That was great.
Queer Eye was great. I always love when Queer Eye comes back.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Are you jealous? I still have it.
Well, I will say that personally, again, I do work her in her cloak show, a current release, but I personally appreciate, you know what Queer Eye is doing now is that they're giving it, I think the show works better when they give it to people who are excited to be there. Like they do, because they're in Texas now. So like, they're giving a guy who like runs a homeless shelter a makeover, or a woman who like started a school for medical assistants of color, and like an essential worker.
It is, yeah.
And then a high school. They did a prom that was like for a high school. Like, they just talked to a bunch of high schoolers about what it's like to go to school and be a senior in 2021, which is like really sad or whatever. And then, you know, but like contrasting that to like one episode where it's just like this Republican cowboy.
I know. I was like, going to say, I feel like some of their early heroes definitely stormed the Capitol.
I think we're thinking of the same person in this season, Millie. Yeah, the guy who lives in like an Airstream that's like on a bunch of like cinder blocks.
Yeah, he lives like on top of where you give the feed for the cows. And like just the whole time, I'm sorry. If you mention more than twice, like, how overwhelming it is to be around gay people. Like,
oh God,
you don't deserve to be there.
Like, you don't deserve to be there.
You're just like, wow, this is a lie. I don't want to hug you because I don't want to be gay, and I'm going to be your first conservative friend.
Oh, that's shocking.
And it's like, actually, he does a show where he meets conservative people all the time, so you're not.
Who, Karamo?
No, I'm talking about like when the guy was like, I'm going to be your first conservative friend. And it's like, you know, they go from city to city in the United States meeting people exactly like you and
also,
giving them makeovers.
Also, hasn't Karamo said things like, it's fine. Republicans are fine. No worries. Didn't he get in trouble for saying like that?
His shirt, yeah, he's cringe. He's lame. And like his shirts are corny. And I'm sure he has a lot of Republican friends. Especially when you start talking about white gay,
That correction where you made sure to put the fashion criticism at the end. His shirts, no. He's lame and his shirts
are corny. He just has really, like, he'll just have a shirt that says, black people are okay. Like, really obvious, like, he knows he's going to be on TV. He wants to make a statement.
That's true.
He put, like, there is one shirt that's like, Lil Nas X, RuPaul, like, all these different, like, I guess, gay, black, and I'm just like, what are you doing? What is the point of this?
So for the rest, I just want to give a little bit, since we haven't done a show for a while, on what we're going to cover this week, because it's kind of a big week. We're going to debrief today on all of the random headlines of the past few weeks that we've really wanted to talk about. Tomorrow is the day we're going to really focus heavily on the January 6th anniversary and just some things that have happened since then we feel are noteworthy. And then Thursday, we'll cover any insights from the day itself. I'm sure on Thursday, interesting things will happen before tackling
some of our pop culture stories. Yeah, I think Trump's going to talk.
Oh, dear. Did he say that?
I was, when I was listening to my morning news roundups, apparently either said he's going to talk or is hinted at talking. So
why would you talk on that? Like, what is he going to okay, that's
insane.
We'll talk about that on Thursday. But first, we're going to talk about something a little bit related, which is Marjorie Taylor Greene getting permanently suspended from Twitter on her personal account 2 days into 2022. Now, if you listen to our superlatives episodes, mm-hmm. which I certainly hope you did because they've been the only episodes you've had for a week, you would have heard Miss Elise Morales predict exactly how and on what grounds Marjorie Taylor Greene would be banned from Twitter in 2022.
Thank you.
Many of us said Lauren Boebert was probably going to be the one. Our Instagram audience got it right. But if you listen back, I meant to pull the clip, I didn't have time. You can hear Elise Morales say, you know, practically speaking, she has a lot of strikes for COVID misinformation. And wouldn't you know it, her fifth and final strike came on Saturday. How do you feel, Elise? Any? Would you like to make any remarks?
I feel vindicated, elated. It's, you know, it's great to be right on the podcast because I said a lot of stuff that's not correct.
Well, I just got to say that it was my fault for thinking Twitter cares about Islamophobia.
It was. As I was listening back to that, I was like, "Oh."
Yeah, and I will, you know, to go into my thinking again, it really does seem like the only thing that Twitter cares about is if you start an actual attack on the Capitol building or if you post COVID misinformation. Those are kind of the two things. You could post your whole family with, like, guns doing whatever. You can post Islamophobia. You can post any of that.
Islamophobia is threatening, is what I guess Twitter doesn't understand.
Well, yeah, posting a picture of 100 guns is not great.
I just want to say, Elise, my hill out to die on was that was $15,000 worth of guns. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I bet it is. That was a lot of money.
We need to revisit that. That was a lot of money worth of guns.
Weapons are very, very expensive. But yeah, again, none of that is against the rules of Twitter. Saying the wrong stuff about COVID, though.
Right. Five times. Five times.
If you say the wrong stuff about COVID five times, that is equal to one insurrection on the Capitol. And that's how you get banned.
That's how you get it. Right. This time specifically, I guess she tweeted like a chart that is in dispute and doesn't accurately reflect like vaccine side effects or anything. As we know, the vaccines are very, very safe. But her congressional account remains up. But this is always like their boring accounts. Like every member of Congress has to. They don't really fuck around on their. Yeah.
They can.
On their. Right. They can. Right. I think their bosses watch it. They have certain things they can't say. So I don't think she's going to really have as much of a platform. But I'm going to guess we weren't surprised by this outcome. But were we surprised by how fast into 2022 it happened?
I mean, a part of me is like, did she just not want to have to be on Twitter on January 6th? Like, she's just like, you know what?
Too much
I'm
pressure.
I'm getting kicked off this app at some point anyway. I might as well get it in right now so that I don't have to see what everyone's saying about me.
That's true. Just remove yourself from the narrative.
People like that, though, I really do think that they think that the rules don't apply to them. Like, yeah, I really think that. I bet you she did not ever expect to ever get kicked off. Just like Donald Trump. Like,
yeah, or like, it could just be that she's like, it's honestly good for her brand to get kicked off Twitter, you know, and then she can go beyond, like, Gabber or whatever the other apps are, and it kind of makes her it's good for her Donald Trump protege cachet that now she's the other one who doesn't have a Twitter
account. Like, good for her because they've been able to create these audiences on some of these other apps that still exist or messaging platforms, but it's like, it sucks for us because like now I have to go look at fucking Gab to see what is saying. Like,
well, I feel like a lot of those people's scary clout stuff. Yeah, but I feel like a lot of those people clout comes from hate retweets.
It does, yeah. It does.
And arguing with AOC, like higher profile left wing and center people. So
definitely.
I do think that their platform does suffer when they're not on those things. Like look at Milo and Richard Spencer.
And Donald Trump.
I mean,
he's still obviously like he's a major force in American politics still. Like he's not neutralized because he's off Twitter. But I do think that like worse violence was avoided on January 6th and in the intermittent time because he was removed from Twitter.
Right, like, well, I agree.
It's good that he is removed. I don't think it ends the problem with him at all. But yeah, when you're talking about someone like Milo, it does neutralize that person, you know?
And I feel like, just like y'all are saying, the real stans are going to find him no matter what.
Yeah.
The real stans will follow.
And journalists can still go and see what they're saying. But you're right.
There are people. If any journalist
is interested in doing that, that would be smart.
There are people that, like, naively, yeah, that, like, are maybe with it not being on Twitter, it will not get the same pickup and they will not come across it. And that is definitely beneficial. Like, I think there are people who are vulnerable to her misinformation who are not necessarily her stans and are going to, like, go find her everywhere. But I am very concerned by how many people will definitely still find her. But I'm happy not to see her tweets.
It's way
well,
less.
she can also, way less, like, even if it's not someone who follows her, she can amplify misinformation to such a level that, like, then another person retweets it, but, like, not directly from her. So it just gets into, the like, the feeds of so many people, even if they're not actually following her or whatever, because, like, she amplifies it so much. And, like, someone could screenshot it and just share it personally.
Exactly.
Or someone could just take the link and share it and not have it be linked back to her. And then a regular person who, if they saw it from Marjorie Taylor Greene, would not like it. Or would think twice about it, but when they're seeing it coming from their cousin, they think it's real. Like, that kind of stuff. So neutralizing her or removing her as a source of misinformation from the platform is good. It doesn't solve the problem of her or her hatefulness or her beliefs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So now we're going to talk about some other villainous women. It's really been a spectrum. Elizabeth Holmes and Ghislaine Maxwell. So let's start with Maxwell, since she was convicted shortly, I think, before Christmas. Her 60th birthday was on Christmas. Happy birthday, Ghislaine. Happy prison birthday. So last week, finally, this woman was found guilty on federal charges. It was 5 counts. 1 count of sex trafficking minor. It's a bunch of sex trafficking stuff, conspiracy stuff. She was acquitted on a charge related to enticing minors to cross borders. The jury at one point had asked for a specific definitions of that, and I guess they decided there was reasonable doubt there. All of these obviously related to her assistance of ex-boyfriend Jeffrey Epstein, who died by suicide before facing trial for raping children. She faces up to 65 years in prison. We're still waiting on her sentencing date. Her lawyers are obviously appealing, but she's also going to face trial for perjury later this year. And a juror told a UK outlet in an interview that came out this morning that he voted to convict simply because he believed the victims. The pattern was obvious. And that just felt nice to hear after such a long time and so many trials like that. Just simply, like, I believed what they said. They were credible. It made sense. So far, Ghislaine has had some issues in prison. Number one, she's complained that she can't get an eye mask to sleep. She was served a moldy salad. If somebody served me a moldy salad at a restaurant, I wouldn't even say anything. I would pay and tip and leave.
I just feel like I'm not coming back here.
Yeah. She's in prison in the UK?
No. But, like, the UK media seems to be the ones that are mostly covering her and, like, getting scoops, I think, because her family and close associates live there. So according to a new report in the Daily Mail, she got dumped. Recently, her husband dumped her while she was in solitary confinement in a Brooklyn jail. They seemed, like, functionally over. He didn't go to any of her trial, but they were still married. But her ex, 46-year-old, this guy named Scott Borgerson, was also seen kissing another woman. And, never went to his wife's trial. The other woman was a yoga teacher. Why is it always a yoga teacher? And why is that always worth noting? Does that just mean, like, woman hotter than you?
But I guess it
maybe
is,
maybe a,
like,
little crazier, though. I'm kidding. No.
Well, that's got a sting.
They apparently had a really confrontational phone call. And some UK papers have spoken to some of her family members who say she doesn't plan to flip on any of Epstein's associates to get a lighter sentence if offered. Which brings us to Prince Andrew, who's in the news today. Ugh, love when this happens.
Yeah, he's my favorite Epstein associate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Not Bill
He's
Gates?
He's my favorite one.
I was going to say mine's Bill Gates. No, I think mine's Bill Clinton, actually.
No, I like Andrew.
You like Andrew. Okay, yes. So, God, I really promoted the hell out of our podcast yesterday. I hope new listeners aren't like, oh, my God.
I don't actually like Andrew. I want Andrew. He's the person who's I find to be the stupidest.
Yes, from a true favorite, from a true crime villain perspective.
Yes, exactly. My favorite to follow.
I think that Bill Gates is more, it's more cringe that Bill Gates, obviously sleeping with children is wrong, but Bill Gates hung out with these people just because they would listen to him. I don't think that he actually slept with any children. I think he literally just
would talk at them too.
And that is
nobody
worse.
Has accused him of it.
And he should go to jail just for that.
Being like, these are my friends.
That should be a crime. Today, oral arguments began in Virginia Giuffre's civil suit against Prince Andrew. She has been in the news, every headline about this. She has been working to hold these people accountable. So she alleges that Prince Andrew sexually assaulted her when she was 17 in 2001. Yesterday, her 2009 settlement with Jeffrey Epstein was unsealed. I'll say why that's important in a second. It showed that Epstein settled for $500,000 without admitting liability or fault and releasing Epstein and, quote, other parties from liability. If you read a lot about any sexual assault settlement, I feel like the details always make victims sound bad. But like, if you know how hard it is to actually hold people accountable, let alone Jeffrey Epstein, like, of course, this was the route to go. But
the settlements are not used to like give justice to the victims. They're used to protect the perpetrator who did these bad things for a fee.
And Prince Andrew thinks that it protects him. So his attorneys are claiming that this also released him of any liability. I like how it's not like, no, he didn't sleep with the child. He's like, no, she signed something that said, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's almost like being like, no, I did, and we already agreed that you're not going to say anything.
Yeah. Like, Jeff paid you before he died.
I did, and the sum was paid. Like, so it's just like, it's particularly...
That's not even the craziest part about this story.
Oh, no. I mean, that's, again, the reason why Andrew is my quote-unquote favorite is because he's an idiot. When I put on my Jeffrey Epstein tinfoil hat and go into my theorizing, my working theory is that Andrew is the one that the Illuminati has chosen to sacrifice to the legal system.
So. I think that's pretty rational. I don't know if that's tinfoil hat worthy.
I just think, you know, Ghislaine went down. Mm-hmm. One of the actual perpetrators, I mean, Ghislaine was also an actual perpetrator of abuse, but one of the powerful men has to go down, and I think Prince Andrew, this again, tinfoil hat is on, but Prince Andrew is the least powerful man. He's like this second son of the monarchy. Like, he's not really...
He's just somebody's son.
But his name is Prince Andrew, so I think he's like the perfect fall guy. And also, he's an idiot and is very dumb. So...
yeah, very dumb. And that is coming
he's
through.
Easy to, it's not that hard to like kind of get him to take the fall for... a lot of stuff. Anyway, we can go into more of his dumbness now. But that's my
No, just reminds me of that episode of The Crown where, like, what is it? Queen Elizabeth tries to spend, like, an afternoon with each kid. And she's like, and then Prince Andrew kept, like, showing her porn or something.
Yeah.
And then she's like.
But don't people say that he was also low-key her favorite or something?
I think they, like, chatted and they, like, got along. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has the reputation of being her favorite. What?
I love Princess Anne, though. I'm sure she did something super gnarly. But in The Crown and in that video where they're laughing at Donald Trump, I love it. So here's how things could get down for Prince Andrew this week. Giuffre is suing him because she's alleging she was forced to perform sex acts with him when she was underage, and she's pursuing this via civil suit. She has repeated that she remembers him being especially sweaty when dancing at a nightclub once. This has like been a consistent part of her story, that she can recount everything that happened this one night when they met. Prince Andrew has defended against this particular claim by saying that he had a medical condition just at the time that kept him from sweating. He also said that he was at a kid's birthday party at a pizza shop the night of the alleged encounters. I just love that an alleged pedophile's defense is that he was at the kid's birthday party at a pizza shop.
Yeah, and also, like, you're the prince. Like, you're where? Like, I don't...
And they're like, can anyone tell us you were there? Like, and he's like... this is what I don't understand is now they're like, okay, show us, tell us who you talked to at the pizza shop. Surely somebody, it was notable to somebody at the pizza shop.
Right, doesn't the British media tend to take photographs of the royals out in public?
That seems a very easy question to answer. The harder question to answer seems to be,
where's the pizza shop in London?
Or also, why? What's wrong with this man's sweat glands? What's going on here? Why can't he sweat? Does he sweat too much? Was it a temporary can't sweat condition? None of this tracks for me.
Well, I think that he says that he like medically can't sweat. I thought that it was a condition he said he had all the time, but I don't really understand how it works for someone to...
But now they're making him prove that he can't sweat, which to me just like, are they going to put him on a treadmill? What do they do?
He probably, I mean, well, sorry, like, you know, bringing it back to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
As you must.
You can get Botox in your, like Miriam Cosby, and stop sweating and stop the odor glands. That's the
so
thing
there would,
that,
but there would be a record of that, right? So like if some, you know, Mary M. Cosby could go to whatever doctor she had, inject her sweat glands with Botox and be like, see, I can't sweat. And then she would be acquitted. But
Didn't she say that hers were removed?
Yeah, she said that her sweat glands were removed.
That's why she was in the hospital, which is why she hates the smell of hospital, of course.
Yeah. Well, I know that if you sweat too much, you can get Botox. I know a few friends who've gotten Botox on their armpits. Because they like
maybe
sweat
that's
way
what
too
he
much.
Did. So maybe he's saying it's a medical condition, but really what happened was he got Botox. We're gonna find pain. Out
because well, they're I mean, you're facing sex trafficking trials. So pull up the Botox, pull up the paperwork that says you got Botox in your armpit. If that's the case,
that's why this story is fucked up. Like, what is he hiding? What is he hiding about his medical history?
About his that he medically can't sweat. I mean, I was saying this to you, Amanda, but that just feels to me like something. That like a prince gets told as a child and then like he right. doesn't look it up. He's like, oh, I can't sweat. Mummy says that I can't sweat. No one in the Windsors can sweat. Mummy exactly. says so.
But I imagine him being told like, no, honey, you can't go run outside and play because if you sweat, you'll die. Not you like physically can't sweat. But maybe he got them confused. I don't know. I just bet
Mummy
like Queen
says
Elizabeth,
I can't sweat or I'll die.
But we were talking about this, like, can he be extradited? Can the queen be subpoenaed? Can,
yeah,
like, this defendant's
like,
mother be
Well, listen,
called?
Let me just say that bitch ain't gonna live to get subpoenaed.
She dies on the flight, and then forever there's, like, a British-US tension over.
Yeah, exactly. There's rumors that she's dead now.
Oh, so.
Much like with her husband.
Yeah, that he actually died.
I perpetrated those rumors.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because have you heard what happens when the queen dies? It's like crazier than the Pope. It's like a whole series of crazy events has to happen. The UK like shuts the banks fucking close. I don't know if that's true. Yeah,
a lot of stuff. There's like a protocol that goes into effect as soon as
yeah, make sure you know if you're in the UK, if the queen dies, you got the money goes away. Spread the word.
Damn.
I don't know. We'd have to get an answer for that.
I do wonder, like, so Virginia Giuffre is suing him, which I imagine maybe was a choice because he probably has I don't think he can, like, he probably has diplomatic immunity or something. Yeah. Like, I don't think he can face, a criminal trial here. But if he is found to have done this, like, how do you put a prince in jail? Can a prince go to jail?
Well, I don't think this is even... I don't think it's a criminal trial.
This isn't a criminal trial. But, like...
I think he... Yeah, if
he
had... He
should face a criminal trial, right? Like, what can you do to a prince? Like...
This sounds like the beginning of a, like, Disney movie.
Yeah, the worst Hallmark movie ever. The
worst Hallmark.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there has to be, like, an HBO series on this whole thing.
The prince from prison.
Oh, and then he and Guylaine fall in love by her birthday on Christmas.
They absolutely. Can't see each other. That's not how prison works. I will say, we haven't... Who do you think will have an easier time in prison?
Guylaine or the prince?
Or the prince. I feel like Guylaine.
Guylaine was, definitely.
Guylaine was... Listen... Ghislaine's going to have, I think she's going to have a lot of fights when she gets into prison. Like the way that she drew the sketch artist?
She drew the court artist back,
That is, she's going to be taught, so, you know, people are going to try to fight her in jail and she's not going to go down without a fight. That's what I think.
Yeah, no, Ghislaine is fucked up. Like, I mean, she's.
And also, she is, not only is she the way she is, child sex offenders famously don't fare well in prison. And that's what she is.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but also I do think that she's like scrappy, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think she has more fight in her than a prince. Like, Andrew, definitely. Like, But also, I don't know if Prince is...
Well, we've talked about, like, her background and her turbulent background and, like, her father being, like, kind of a scandal and, like, an abomination. Definitely, like, sent her into Epstein's... I mean, arms, maybe, not his trafficking ring. And we'll get to this as well, like, how satisfying these outcomes are. But I don't know. I think Elaine will definitely fare better. She might not eat anything and she'll be batshit crazy, but I think she's, like, she's just nuts.
Well, she's certainly not Miss Private Judge January 6th. I'm going in with a diet plan.
Yeah, Jenna Ryan.
But she's
in prison right now, actually.
Yeah, but she...
yeah, Ghislaine's already maintained her figure. She's fine.
Yeah, but if she's sending back moldy salad in jail, I don't know, Doug.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
What about the other woman in prison?
Exactly. Our other woman behind bars, because I want to know how she's going to fare, is Elizabeth Holmes. So if you haven't consumed any of the hundreds of hours of programming on Elizabeth Holmes, she started a company called Theranos. She claimed she created a tiny box that could test blood for all sorts of things, never before seen medical device, miracle product. The problem was it never worked. She knew it didn't. It might not ever work. And she still raised money on this false promise. And at one point, her company even claimed to be testing blood for actual patients with their machines, but was just having it sent through a testing lab, or they were doing it with the machines that didn't work. All sorts of shady stuff. Huge scam. A jury decided the way she did this was very illegal. She was specifically convicted on 4 charges involving investors. She wasn't on charges involving patients who the government claims were defrauded and misled by the faulty product. And the jury deadlocked on a few other fraud charges. I believe a lot of those relate to, like, how much did she know? How much did she know about what she was doing? Was she just, you know, would she have 2 glass half full of a mindset on some of these things, or was she willingly lying? And it seems like on some of them, they couldn't decide. The patient's part was also a little bit harder to prove. There wasn't as many witnesses. There wasn't as much of a paper trail. But as I said, there's so much evidence that she defrauded a lot of these people who were already really wealthy. So the verdict has kind of been seen as the first big consequence for a Silicon Valley founder who's inflated the value of their startup based on false or misleading information. This happens all of the time. I mean, there are people out there who just make money off of their idea being theoretically good, even though nothing has really happened. But with Elizabeth Holmes and Ghislaine Maxwell, I wanted to end today by sort of talking about, do you find these convictions satisfying or not?
Holmes, yes. Ghislaine, not as... I mean, Ghislaine Maxwell needed to, like, face consequences for what she did. Anyone involved with Jeffrey Epstein's stuff should face consequences, but I think it's all going to ring hollow because we never actually got to put Jeffrey Epstein on trial, and because so many of his, like, wealthy clientele still go free. Like, there are just so many more people that the blame is spread to. So, like, yeah, Ghislaine should go to jail, but whatever, there are a lot of people involved in this that should be going to jail. With Elizabeth Holmes, it's like...
One of them was president.
Two of them were president.
Evidence. Two of them.
Multiple presidents.
And one of them was Bill Gates just chatting along.
Yeah, just chatting. Just saying, these guys are nice. I love hanging out with you.
Terrible.
But with Elizabeth Holmes, it's like... I mean, Sonny Balwani also did bad, but it's like, she did the bad. She get in trouble. It's a very, like... the book is closed. She did the bad thing. She got in trouble. I mean, people who got bad results from the Theranos boxes were harmed, but it's not the level of harm, like, the level of widespread and, like, horrific harm that Jeffrey Epstein caused. So it definitely feels like a neater story with Holmes.
It is. Yeah. I feel like the Holmes one is sort of this conclusion makes it seem like it was a victimless crime, or that the victims were like, she was found not guilty of trying to defraud patients. I mean, one person was told they might have a miscarriage based on this faulty evidence. So it's I understand how the justice system works, and if they couldn't prove that was her intention. But the only people who are technically getting, like, vindication here are, like, Rupert Murdoch and the family of Betsy
and, like, Henry Kissinger
and the billionaires who invested in her that were defrauded, and the system is protecting them. And I don't know if there's, like, I can't explain why in this case things should have gone differently, but in that sense, to me, it's a little bit unsatisfying. It's just like, I don't know, whenever you see there is something to both of these where it's like, well, why is it always the evil woman, and why is it never the evil man?
Yeah, and I think the thing that's, like, conflicting about Ghislaine is that who was fucking these kids, you know? Who was fucking these young girls?
And who was she trafficking them for? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And not just one man, and only one man is, like, was even going to be tried for it so far.
So that's the thing that kind of rings hollow in that sense of, like, okay, we're glad that someone's facing consequences, and she was a big orchestrator of it. You know, it wasn't like she was just, like, happened to be there. Like, I think she did do... It was said that she did do a lot of the manipulating and get the girls to trust her and all that stuff. So you
and she committed acts of abuse, too. Like, she actually also sexually abused kids.
So it's not like, you know, I don't know how it's tough because on one end it's like, well, why is it always the women that gets in trouble? But on the other end, it's like,
he's dead. Yeah,
but it's not, you know, I mean, I think the same thing about when people complain about Bill Cosby and they're like, why is it always the black man? What about white men doing it? It's like, no, everyone needs to face consequences. It's not that we shouldn't give consequences to one group because the other group doesn't. But I do understand that it doesn't feel, quote, satisfying and all that stuff. I think with Holmes, I would like to think that even though the big victims are, like, these rich people or whatever, it is, like, this first wave, which I hope happens more, of these Silicon Valley investors that are just trying to fucking get as much money. And a lot of these stupid, you know, a lot of these startups are just putting middlemen for things that already exist and inflating the things of their company. And it's nice to see that in some ways people can get, it was medical, so that's a lot more tricky than, like, a delivery service app or whatever.
Yeah. But
it is like interesting to see how this goes, because crypto is a big example of, like, okay, some of it is valid or whatever, but a lot of it is, like, you know, I think somebody called that, like, the BBC, because they were promoting, like, oh, look at these great crypto innovators, and they wrote all these things, and those guys, like, got a bunch of people's money cashed out and dipped, and they, like, legally they didn't do anything wrong or whatever because people were investing. But it's just like, we need to start holding these people accountable for these startups and all this stuff. Like, you know, it is like this, they do prey on younger people. And right now with the NFT market, it's so crazy to hear things like that. It's just unregulated, and all these influencers are using it to, like, do crazy shit that would violate the SEC. And, like, and you couldn't do this in Wall Street, of, like, all these influencers posting about this one product to inflate the price, and then they cash out, and then all these people, like, buy it. You know what I mean? So I hope it's a ripple effect in that.
I genuinely don't understand what an NFT is.
Why wouldn't you want to fund a token? I don't know.
It's like, if you want a receipt, if you want to use gas and electricity to have a receipt that shows that you own something. Not that you own the thing, but that's basically it.
Yeah, I'm struggling with it, and I was trying to follow something on Twitter the other day where
non-fungible tokens.
There are all of these NFTs of monkeys, and someone is stealing them.
Oh, that one too.
And so someone is, but I don't understand how you can steal them or what is being stolen exactly.
You right click the picture and then you hit save to computer.
But it seems like more than that was happening to it. Something was happening to these monkeys.
NFTs complicate everything.
Well, all of that also is like money laundering too, which, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, it's like if you're able to play the game correctly, you're lauded. And if you accidentally break a law, it's like, whoopsie daisy, you're a criminal. I mean, she was like heralded everywhere. She was like on every woman's, like most powerful woman list. And you're right, it was because she was... it was a medical device. Like, I think since then we've become a little bit more careful about like glorifying female founders just because they're women. It's like, what are you making? Just more crap for me to put on my face that doesn't work. But like, this was something that felt really powerful. So yeah, this is, hopefully it'll be some sort of bellwether that like, you can't straight up lie. People are paying attention. Everybody's a podcast host. People are watching you.
Yep.
And chill out. My last question for today is, who do you think is a bigger menace to the rich and influential in California? Do you think it's Elizabeth Holmes or Tristan Thompson?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I feel like Tristan
Thompson is a menace to Khloe Kardashian. He's a menace
all
to
the
one
Kardashians,
woman.
Though. They all have to activate.
Well, a lot of Black Twitter today was like, Jordan Woods deserves an apology.
Yeah.
Because yes.
The way that, yes. And like, when you think about it, that girl was 20 years old or 21. And there's a bunch of women in their 30s and 40s.
I know.
Fucking attacking her online.
We definitely need to have more people on to have the conversation, which I don't think we've had on this podcast, about how problematic they are and how they abuse Black women in addition to like appropriating culture and everything.
Well,
because there's a lot of stuff they've done that most people don't know.
Well, yeah, but exactly. And then all of that for Tristan to be, well, and that woman was for weeks. I don't know if you've been following Tristan Thompson. So the thing is that Tristan Thompson allegedly cheated on this, got this other woman pregnant. And the woman for weeks was like, you're my baby daddy. Mm-hmm. You told me this. And she was like divulging like, yeah, that's why Kylie fucked Drake and didn't want to tell Travis Scott. So, like, everyone assumed everything was fake because Tristan's, like, constantly denying it. And Tristan offered her $75,000 to get an abortion, which, hard to turn down. But,
oh boy.
Because he's like, you're not going to get any child support from me. I'm going to.
Yeah, she can, though, can't she?
Well, he's like, you're not getting any child support from me because I'm about to retire. I'm not going to be rich. Whatever money that you think you're going
to
get from
me. Okay, that is way worse. That behavior to me would be way worse than cheating on me.
Well.
That shit.
And then today, so then he did all that. She published all those texts. And then for all of that to come out, and then for today, him to like publicly apologize and be like, actually, she is my baby mama. Just embarrassing.
I think it's close. I think it's actually close because I think that the Kardashians probably have the collective power of all of Silicon Valley.
I mean, they launched as many products.
I'm just going to say, Elise, do you know what you're wearing today? You have your hair tied back in a cute little bun and you're wearing
I feel like I actually look like Elizabeth Holmes.
Your hair looks moisturized and hydrated, so I'm going to say
it does. You're a little blurry.
Thank you.
Her hair's dry and gross.
Yeah.
Women's support.
And I'm using my real voice as well. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I will say this, right? Everybody, pop some popcorn. I just discovered Kourtney Kardashian's product website last night. The things on there. First of all, guess the name.
It's Poosh.
Poosh. Yes.
Yeah. I know the name.
I didn't know. Poosh.
And, oh, yeah.
And I saw a face mask for $200 that shines a red light on your face.
Poosh out Goop Scoop, for sure. We should definitely, that would be hilarious content if you
Poosh
just documented
out
that.
Scoop. Which, what does that mean, right? In 2022.
Exactly. That is our show for today. We will be back this week. We are back until the end of democracy. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Samaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.